You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to Wednesday's Racing Podcast from William Hill. My name is Jack and joining me for this particular edition is Rory Delahi. Rory, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Jack.
Good, good. And we were just having a look towards the weekend because we are halfway through the week now and all eyes turn towards Cheltenham.
Yeah, a cracking card at Cheltenham on Saturday. I mean, it always is Trials Day, but we also have the bonus of the rearranged Clarence House Chase from Ascot's meeting. Which was abandoned or cancelled last Saturday. So a real feast for racegoers and punters there, and obviously one of Doncaster's better cards of the year as well.
Yeah, and when this sort of trials day comes around, you always know you're only around 6 or 7 weeks away from Cheltenham now as well.
Yeah, and in recent years it's become more and more of a pointer to the festival. There was this notion that, you know, form shown on what tends to be soft ground in January has no bearing on what's going to happen on good ground in March, but actually it's been throwing up plenty of future winners in recent times and lots of solid pointers. And of course we're going to see the Gold Cup favourites, all things being equal.
Yes, absolutely. So, there's plenty obviously to look forward to. William Hill have got a couple of races priced up at the moment. We have the Cleve Hurdle and the Cotswold Chase as the two. No surprise to see Thistlecrack so short in the Cotswold at 4-9, really, here, is it?
Yeah, it's a very short price, but he's probably going to scare off most of the opposition. He's in at 4-9. Last year's first and second, Smart Place and Mini Clouds, are the next two in the betting. They'll both be suited by conditions. For me, Mini Clouds shipped really well last year. I didn't think he was hard fit, and possibly he was showing signs of the breathing problem that afflicted him in the Grand National. He travelled better than Smart Place and just weakened between the last two fences. And he looked as good as ever on his return to the entry. So, you know, he'll make sure that it's not one-way traffic for Thistlecrack. And, of course, Thistlecrack racing over the longest trip he's tackled over jumps thus far. It's 3 miles, 1 furlong, 56 yards. So the one notion that people have put forward with him in regards to the Gold Cup is, despite winning a world hurdle, a stairs hurdle now, that was over a bare 3 miles, and he's a very enthusiastic sort. So will he be vulnerable over the extended 3.25 miles of the Gold Cup? You won't quite find out in the Cotswold Chase, but it is an extra furlong and a bit for him to go compared to Kempton, for example. And that's that will make interesting viewing. But we know that he's got a hell of a lot of class. He won the King George in scintillating style. I know they all ended up in a bit of a heap at the finish, but he was effectively eased from the second last fence. He gave the impression he could have gone 10, 12, 15 lengths clear after he won the battle with Q-Card. And while, you know, he still wouldn't be the highest rated Gold Cup favourite at this stage, he's been fairly much flawless since that second run at Cheltenham, where he was a little bit chancy at the ditches. And of course, coming back to Cheltenham will be an interesting one. He's been very good in his jumping at Newbury and then at Kempton, but he does want to stand off a fence. He wants to take them on, and that means that there's always going to be that little doubt in your mind. But I think his jumping is superb. I think the more he's asked to do and the faster he goes, the better he'll look in terms of his jumping. And your heart is in your mouth for the right reasons with him, I think.
Yeah, particularly if you're taking a very short price about him. But, you know, the likes of Smad Place are always there or thereabouts, aren't they? And this, you know, Silvianico Conte's in there as well, Shantou Flyer and Calmore Lock as well. It's going to be a fascinating race. Also priced up, as we mentioned, as well as the Cotswold, is the Cleve. And no surprise again, really, to see, you know what I mean, Harry is the even money favourite. But Ballyoptic is threes, Petit Zig is in there at 12s, Cole Harden's at 14s. How do you see this one panning out at this early stage?
Again, I'm hoping we get a decent-sized field for it. There's 15 in at the four-day stage, of which, you know what I mean, Harry, is clearly the standout because he's won the races that this time a year ago Thysikrak was winning over hurdles, and he's won with real authority thus far, and he looks the one they've all got to beat. It's hard to imagine that 18 months ago he was getting beaten in handicaps off marks in the 110s for his previous yard, but he's improved out of all recognition since joining his current yard, and there's no sign of him reaching his limit as yet, so he's going to be very hard to beat. Bally Optic has looked very impressive this season at times, but he's also come down at the last twice, and both times there have been slightly odd falls. He's taken a stride away from the last hurdle both times before coming down, which is slightly strange, but he was the one who was throwing down the strongest challenge to, you know what I mean, Harry, at Ascot in the mist there, and he, you know, deserves to be viewed as the biggest danger. Although, interesting, the horse has rather been forgotten. What price is West Approach in the betting for that race? Of course, West Approach
16s
is a half brother to Thysikrak and runs in the same colours. He's been beaten often enough, but he was running an absolute stormer there. He'd been beaten three or four times in novice company this season, but stepped up to Grade One company, was it Grade One or Grade Two at Ascot? Grade One, let's say. I'm sure it is. And he was running the race of his life. He was hampered by the fall of Bally Optic and unseated at the last, but he would have been placed. He was running really well. And he might just be the surprise package in the race, certainly capable of getting placed, despite the fact that until Ascot, they seemed to be struggling with tactics for him. They didn't know whether to hold him up or make the running with him, and he was running over different trips. But he was well suited by the way the race was run at Ascot, and maybe that track suits him better than Cheltenham, I don't know, but he is capable of springing a minor surprise. But I think you know what I mean, Harry, is going to be difficult to beat. That's why he's heading the market at evens.
Yeah, as you say, a little bit of better luck and West Approach at 16-1 could be a real each-way player there in that one.
And finally, just a word, and he's not going to win this race, but a previous winner of the race, a horse actually beat Big Bucks and ended his winning sequence. One of my favourite horses of all time, the 14-year-old Nokara Bo, is jocked up and looks like he's going to run in this race again. He's just been an absolute star for the Charltons over the years, owned by Alistair Charlton, trained by his son George, and ridden by Jan Faltacek. And it's just great to see him turn out, and he's one of the most handsome horses you'll see. He's not going to win this time around, but I'd love to see him. It might just be a swan song. I'm not sure what the plan is, but he's 14 now, and there aren't many more races he could run in. So if he ends up running respectably, they might decide to call it a day with him at his favourite track.
That's the great thing, though, isn't it, about these sort of dates where you see your old favourites come back, and even if, as you say, it is a swan song, just great to see them back on the course.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right, okay, so they're the two races that William Hill have priced up. You can go and have a look at the prices online at williamhill.com. Rory, you're going to be there, aren't you, at the weekend?
Yeah, that's very much the plan.
What else are you looking forward to seeing, or who else are you looking forward to seeing?
Again, it's difficult to know who's going to line up for some of these races. There are huge entries for one or two. In the final race, it's a handicap hurdle, just a Class 2 handicap hurdle. I'd be interested in seeing Le Rocher, who was due to run at Ascot last weekend, and obviously another one who missed that engagement, but he was second to Klein at Haydock in the fog, and of course Klein then went close in the Champion Hurdle trial, and is a strong fancy for the Beffer Hurdle at Newbury early next month, and Le Rocher would interest me in that contest, but whether they run him at the weekend or whether they keep him back for Newbury, I don't know, but he's definitely well handicapped, and he's one I want to keep on side.
Okay, we'll look out for Le Rocher if indeed it does go in that handicap hurdle then on Saturday. Plenty to look forward to at the weekend, but before we get there, there is racing on Wednesday from Catterick, Lingfield and Ludlow and Fairy House over in Ireland. We've got a couple of races to look at from Ludlow and Lingfield shortly, but we're going to start with Catterick, and this is the 340. It's a Class 3 handicap chase, and it's just short of the 2 miles. Where are we looking in this one?
Well, it's pretty competitive, to be honest with you. Not that easy to fancy Roxy Fett down at the bottom, but the others all have chances. I am going to side with the top weight, it is actually just top weight, Blanford's Gunner, who's only having a second run for Harry Whittington. Harry does very well with horses he gets from other yards. Doesn't always strike at the first time of asking, though, and Blanford's Gunner give the impression that his first run for the yard was needed. I think he will come on for that. He was with Evan Williams last season, and he's well handicapped in his best form. This time last year, he was runner-up of a mark of 127 to horse called Fairy Wrath at Sandown. Fairy Wrath went on to be a very good second in the top of mid entry. And Blanford's Gunny looks well handicapped on that form. He didn't really go on for that in two subsequent runs over longer trips. I think he probably just needs 2 miles. He's a weak finisher over further. And having run over around 2.5 at Weatherby on his return, he drops back to 2 miles. James Nixon again takes a 7 off him. And I thought he'd run a decent race down in class.
Okay, well, we'll look out for that in the 3:40 at Catterick. We're also competing over the all-weather as well on Wednesday. There's a handicap, a Class 2-1 at 3:15 at Lingfield. 7 runners in this one. Is this looking competitive as well?
Oh, this is hugely competitive for the field size. And plenty of these are in very good form. Notably, Culture Colleen, who was a winner over course and distance last time out from Van Huysen off a mark of 90. She's gone up to 94 now. I think that might just stop her. But Van Huysen, who she beat narrowly, is £2 better off, has a tremendous record at this track, and has Josephine Gordon taking over in the saddle from John Egan. I'm not suggesting that's an obvious improvement, but it's no bad thing. Last season's champion apprentice. And Van Huysen's just got an excellent record at this track for Dominic French Davis, and yet it's always backable. Again, probably because he comes from an unfashionable yard, but yet his record here is very good. Pretty much all his runs recently have been over course and distance. He's won twice over a mile and a quarter here recently. He's a winner over a mile and a maiden when he actually popped up at 100-1. So if you've been backing him in all the starts at Lingfield, you'd be doing very well indeed. He doesn't win by very far when he does win. His wins have come recently by a head, 3/4 of a length, and a neck twice. Very genuine. Always does enough. Obviously beaten a length last time out, but I think he's again going to run his race. And because he's the lowest rated in the race, and Dominic French Davis is never going to be a fashionable trainer, I think he ends up being a decent price again. So I will side with him.
Yeah, some decent looking form figures there as well for Van Huysen. And that's the race at Lingfield, the 3:15. We're going to look at a couple from Ludlow to finish off. The 3:25 is the first of those. This is a handicap, and again, just short of the 2 miles. There are 8 at the time of recording, so some each-way potential perhaps here.
Yeah, always worried we're going to lose one of those by race time. It's a novice's limited handicap chase. Most of these with limited or no experience over fences. Which makes it difficult to call. But I don't think those who've got chasing experience set a particularly high standard. And I'm going to take a chance on one who's hard to fancy on the form that he's shown in a couple of recent starts. But I think we'll see an entirely different horse jumping fences on goodish ground. And the advance going at Ludlow is good to soft. It doesn't tend to get particularly deep at Ludlow. And as a result, I think we will see much improved form from Big Windmill, who, again, I hope is a decent price. He's a point-to-point winner on good ground in Ireland, and he's shown promise on his 2 starts at this track. 4th in a bumper on his debut for Tom George, and then an eye-catching 3rd in a maiden hurdle in November. Since then, he's run a couple of poor races, tailed off at Newbury in a novice hurdle, and then beaten 25 lengths in a maiden hurdle at Chepstow in heavy ground last time out. For me, that was all about getting a mark. You know, he's a horse who almost certainly wants good ground, and he's a horse who, to look at his physique, and indeed the fact that he's won a point-to-point, has just been crying out for fences. And it's always interesting when you've got good trainers who get the horses handicapped over hurdles and then immediately got a mark, stick them straight over fences. And that's that for me is a positive for Big Windmill. Again, you know, if you look at his form, his last couple of runs, you wouldn't touch him. But I think just look at him as a project. He's been waiting for fences. He's been waiting for this ground. And I think he goes very well. He'd maybe be nap of the day for me.
OK, Big Windmill then in the 3:25 from Ludlow. And then finally, 35 minutes later, it's a handicap hurdle for the mares. And it's over the 2 miles and 5 furlongs. Once again, there are 8 in this race.
Mare's handicap hurdles, probably the least attractive betting medium for me as a rule. And this one is a tough one because there is you're dealing with horses who've been in decent form this season and been going up in the weights, and in the case of one or two horses with a bit of class who've been off the track for a while, specifically referring to Tara Miss there, who was never quite on her game last season despite finishing third and fourth twice. She was beaten a fair way, but her last run the previous season, she absolutely dotted up in a novice hurdle at Perth, and she was an excellent fourth in the Mare's final at Newbury behind Kalan off a mark of 122. Her trainer Henry Daly had a bad season last season on the whole, whereas he's done very well comparatively in 2016-2017, and although Tara Mist has been off the track for 13 months, I think on her best form she would go extremely close here. So she gets the vote for me in what's a really tough contest because you're guessing a little bit on her fitness, but I don't think Henry would leave her short for a race like this. And of course this is his local track. He likes to get winners here, particularly in these colours.
Yeah, and teaming up with Richard Johnson as well for Tara Mist in the 4 o'clock from Ludlow. Right, that's all we've got time for on Wednesday's racing podcast. We'll be back for Thursday, of course. Rory, thank you very much and good luck with all of your bets. You can hear Rory throughout the week on William Hill's Racing Radio.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.